Penguin Random House Audio presents One Last Gift by Emily Stone. Read for you by Heather Long.
Prologue. Cassie woke while it was still dark. Her duvet pulled halfway over her head to hide from the cold. For a moment, she frowned into the blackness, groggy from sleep, confused as to what had woken her. Then there was a loud snore from the bed next to hers. She gave the sleeping mass that was her brother a sideways look. He was always snoring, and it was so annoying. She'd told him to lie on his side about a million times, because her best friend's mum was a doctor, and she'd once said that helped. Cassie sighed into her pillow. Maybe if he kept up the snoring, she'd get brave enough to sleep on her own at night. And he could sleep in his own room, across the corridor, under the glowing stars he'd stuck to the ceiling. But she hadn't yet worked up the courage. Not since Mum and Dad died, nearly 2 years ago. Tom gave another snore, making Cassie start. It was only then that she realised, and her heart gave a little leap, as she threw her duvet off and sat straight up in bed. It was Christmas Day. It was Christmas! How had she forgotten, even for a moment? Ignoring the chilly air, Cassie stepped down from her bed, careful not to wake Tom, and padded to the window. Maybe there would be snow outside, even though Auntie Claire said it never really snowed on Christmas Day. She moved the curtains aside and peered down into her aunt's little garden. It was too dark to see anything at all, the world outside still sleeping. She turned back to the beds, her eyes adjusting to the darkness. There were no stockings at the foot of the bed because Auntie Claire didn't believe in stockings. Tom found out Santa wasn't real years ago, and so Claire had decided she didn't want to carry on the charade. Cassie wasn't entirely sure what a charade was, but Tom had told her it meant acting, even though their parents used to do it every year. The excitement of the day dulled a little in Cassie's chest as she thought about her mum and dad and the fact that they wouldn't be here to open presents with or make marshmallows on toast for breakfast, a Christmas tradition Auntie Claire hadn't let them continue. She thought about waking Tom up. He'd be okay with it, and they could sneak downstairs and find some chocolate together before Claire got up. She was pretty sure there were chocolate presents somewhere wrapped in foil. One of their neighbours had dropped them round. Cassie couldn't remember her name, but she was really old and smelt a bit like cocoa and lavender mixed together, and she'd said the chocolates had to be hung on the tree. And there was a tree, even though Claire almost hadn't got one, because Cassie had cried when Claire had said that maybe they shouldn't have one this year, and even Tom had looked sad, and so she'd given in. But even as the thought of waking Tom and going chocolate hunting danced around her mind, something even better occurred to her. She held in the squeal bubbling inside of her, grinning to herself as she grabbed her fluffy socks, the ones with rabbit ears, and tied her pink dressing gown around her, the one her mum and dad had bought for her, the Christmas before they died. She was getting too big for it now. She knew she was, but she refused to get another one. Cassie crept downstairs as quietly as she could, keeping her hand on the banister to guide her in the dark. Her heart was beating faster with each bouncing step she took. They might not do stockings or mince pies for Santa like the rest of her class, but there was one thing that made Christmas morning just the best morning ever. She padded into the living room, guided by the fairy lights on the tree, yellow and red and green. Tom had done it every year for her since she could remember. Well, before that, really, because she didn't actually remember the first time, though her mum and dad had said it was all his idea, even when they were only tiny. And Cassie believed them because Tom was very clever. She found the first clue under the Christmas tree. It hadn't been there last night. She'd checked before she went to bed, so he must have snuck down in the night to put it there. She pressed her hand to her mouth to stop the excited giggle. Wouldn't it be good if she could do it all by herself this year? Follow the clues and find her present at the end of the treasure hunt before Tom even woke up. He'd be so impressed with that. She knew he would. So, alone in the dark, under the twinkling lights of the tree, she tore open the envelope and began to read. Chapter 1. Cassie ducked under the low wooden beam of the doorway and into the warmth of the pub, her hands full, clutching a tray of mince pies. In one corner, logs cracked in the fireplace, and the smell of mulled wine, sherry, pine, and cheese all rolled into one. She walked towards the rustic bar, nodding to a few familiar faces as she passed the chatter of what must be nearly the entire village washing over her. It made her smile. Everyone out together on Christmas Eve, coming out to an event that she'd help organise, and looking like they were really enjoying it. She caught sight of Tom, leaning against a stone wall and laughing as he threw his head back, his blonde hair, almost exactly the same colour as hers, flopping to one side. He hadn't noticed her coming in. He was chatting away to someone who had their back to her, beer in hand. Someone with messy dark brown hair, relaxed posture, a black jacket showing off those impressive shoulders. Her smile got bigger, and she tried to ignore the little lurch in her stomach, the way her skin started to buzz. "It's just Sam," she told herself. Sam, who she'd known since forever. Sam, her brother's best friend. She glanced at him once more and nearly stumbled straight into the old oak bar, clutching the tray she was holding and throwing it out in front of her to save the mince pies.
"Watch out, Cassie, love. We don't want to see all your hard work ending up on the floor."
Linda, landlady of the Red House, appeared on the other side of the bar, having come through the double doors that led to the kitchen. She tucked a red and white tea towel through her belt on her jeans and crossed to Cassie, reached out to take the mince pies, then set them down by the coffee machine.
"Sorry, Linda," Cassie said quickly, slipping out of her coat. "I know I'm a bit late, and I..."
Linda waved her apology away, her many rings glinting in the candlelight from the candles Cassie had helped set up earlier. "Don't be silly. You're a dolphin making them, and they look so good I might have to sneak one away before the rabble get their hands on them." She did just that, grabbing one and taking a bite, and groaned in what Cassie thought was slightly overdone pleasure. A crumb of the pastry stuck to Linda's red lip gloss, and Cassie wondered if she should tell her.
"Can't believe you whipped these up overnight. You're a girl of many hidden talents, I tell you."
Cassie shrugged modestly and decided not to tell Linda about the three batches of pastry that had ended up in the bin, the state of the kitchen earning many a tight-lipped look from her Aunt Claire. But really, what was the alternative? Linda had suggested store-bought mince pies from Sainsbury's for the pub's annual Christmas Eve event, but Cassie had known that homemade would be better. The door to the pub opened again, letting in a blast of cool air that managed to reach even the bar. Cassie looked over to see Hazel, her best friend since the beginning of primary school, coming in with her mum. Hazel spotted Cassie, and her eyes, green, not Hazel, sparked as she closed the distance between them in a few long, elegant strides. Cassie clocked the heels that Hazel was wearing and tried not to wrinkle her nose. They always looked ridiculous together when she did that, because of the difference in their heights. Hazel, tall enough to be a professional model, and Cassie, barely making 5 foot, still short enough to occasionally fit into child's clothing. Honestly, Cassie had told Hazel that they looked like some kind of double act and that they should be trying to reduce the difference in their heights rather than accentuate it. But Hazel didn't care. She was confident in her height and was sure it was going to come in useful one day, if only so that she didn't have to get married just to have someone around to reach the top shelf. "Happy Christmas Eve." Hazel gave Cassie a hug, bending down to do so, then stepped back and pursed her lips as she studied Cassie, who twirled a strand of her hair back into place behind her ear. Hazel nodded approvingly.
"The dress works," she said decisively,
and Cassie felt relief wash over her as she tried very hard not to glance at the head of messy brown hair behind her. Despite repeatedly telling herself that he was just Sam, she knew she'd bought the dress, black, tight-fitting, with silver snowflakes on it, especially for tonight. Because, fine, yes, even if he was just her brother's best friend...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?